Republican members of the House and Senate mounting their first official challenge to Joe Biden's presidential election win. They've objected to state results from Arizona as they are taking up President Trump's effort to overturn the election results. Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona, flanked by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, rose to object to what's typically a routine acceptance of electors. Now we have 2 hours of debate in the House and Senate as lawmakers in each of their separate house are going to be debating and deliberating. Let's take you live to the floor of the U.S. Senate, where Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is speaking.
They know that President Trump and his allies have suffered the defeat, a defeat in court after court across the country, losing no fewer than 62 legal challenges. And I might add, many Republican-appointed judges, some appointed by President Trump, rendered those decisions. They know, you all know, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to be sworn in as President and Vice President of the United States on January 20th. But they are going to object to the counting of the vote anyway. And in the process, they will embarrass themselves, they will embarrass their party, and worst of all, they will embarrass their country. This insurrection was fortunately discouraged by the leadership of the majority party, but it was not quelled. It is a very sad comment on our times that merely the accepting the results of an election is considered an act of political courage. Sadder and more dangerous still is the fact that an element of the Republican Party believes their political viability hinges on the endorsement of an attempted coup. That anyone, much less an elected official, would be willing to tarnish our democracy in order to burnish their personal political fortunes. Over the course of the afternoon, and however far into the evening this band of Republican objectors wants to take us, senators of goodwill from both sides of the aisle will explain why these challenges must be dismissed. The senators from states whose electoral votes are being challenged will explain how the allegations of fraud are baseless. And a substantial bipartisan majority must vote to put down these objections and defend the sanctity of our elections and indeed, our great and grand democracy.
That's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the New York Democrat. He followed Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell, who said that overruling the presidential election would damage our republic forever. So Mitch McConnell standing firmly against the challenge by some members of his own party to the results in the presidential election and specifically the electoral vote, which gives Joe Biden the presidency. Joining us to talk about what's happening right now on the floors of the House and the Senate, as well as Georgia's election results, is Amanda Renteria, board member of Emerge America, which identifies and trains Democratic women for political office. Amanda, good to have you with us again. First of all, what do you see coming from what's expected to be today's long process in Congress?
Well, it's good to be with you again. As everyone woke up this morning after the results of yesterday, there was a lot more clarity about the people have spoken, where the voters are. And what you're seeing on the floor is really the culmination of a whole heck of a lot of energy in those words of Schumer, but really based on not only what we saw in Georgia, but really all across the board. Having spent almost a decade in the Senate, I know this body takes this moment serious, and it's very good to see McConnell and Schumer on the same page. It really does set the stage for where the country needs to go for really having a productive relationship with the administration. And in all fairness, I think McConnell realizes that the power has shifted, And in order to make sure that we can lead the country in the right direction, we're going to have to go through these next couple of hours. But it's becoming clearer and clearer that the path to productivity and new relationships are being set in a good, positive way.
Also with us from Claremont McKenna College, Professor of Politics Jack Pitney. Professor, good to have you with us. Jack, your thoughts on what we're seeing take place and you know, what is the potential risk in what we see going on?
Well, I think Senator McConnell stated it well. It undermines faith in democracy. So there's a potential risk to the country. There's also a potential risk to the Republican Party. This handcuffs the Republicans to Trump. Joe Biden is going to be president, and in the months ahead, we are going to learn more and more about the Trump administration, and his reputation is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And this entire episode makes Trump look terrible. It makes the Republican Party look terrible. But the most important thing, it's fundamentally bad for the country.
What's going on in your view with Ted Cruz, the Texas senator, taking the lead on this in the upper house? What's the game plan here?
Well, it's unfortunate because he's a very well-educated lawyer. He knows what the Constitution says. He knows better. But he is appealing to the Republican base. He very much wants to be president, and he figures that this is his way of getting the loyalty of Trump voters as a step to the Republican presidential nomination in 4 years.
And the question, of course, is going to be, in the intervening years, to what degree does Donald Trump continue with a hold on the majority of Republicans? What do you think?
If Trump wants to be the central player, he will be. And I think that's what his plan is. One is his ego. And second, this is how he makes his living. He has monetized the presidency. He'll monetize the campaign to fill his own pockets. And frankly, he needs the money because he's going to have colossal legal expenses ahead.
We'll continue our conversation with Jack Pitney, Claremont McKenna College Professor of Politics, and Amanda Renteria joining us from Emerge America, the organization that works with Democratic women wanting to run first time for political office. She was the national political director for Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign. We're at 866-893-KPCC. If you have questions about what's happening on Capitol Hill today, as well as the results of yesterday's Georgia senatorial runoff elections, 866-893-5722. Back in 1 minute. We take you back to the floor of the U.S. Senate, where the aforementioned Texas Senator Republican Ted Cruz is speaking.
The legitimacy of any administrations that will come in the future. I want to take a moment to speak to my Democratic colleagues. I understand. Your guy is winning right now. If Democrats vote as a bloc, Joe Biden will almost certainly be certified as the next president of the United States. I want to speak to the Republicans who are considering voting against these objections. I understand your concerns, but I urge you to pause and think. What does it say to the nearly half the country that believes this election was rigged if we vote not even to consider the claims of illegality and fraud in this election? And I believe there's a better way. The leaders just spoke about setting aside the election. Let me be clear. I am not arguing for setting aside the result of this election. All of us are faced with two choices, both of which are lousy. One choice is vote against the objection. And tens of millions of Americans will see a vote against the objection as a statement that voter fraud doesn't matter, isn't real, and shouldn't be taken seriously. And a great many of us don't believe that. On the other hand, most, if not all of us, believe we should not set aside the results of an election just because our candidate may not have prevailed. And so I endeavor to look for door number three, a third option, and for that I look to history, to the precedent of the 1876 election, the Hayes-Tilden election, where this Congress appointed an electoral commission to examine claims of voter fraud. Five House members, five senators, five Supreme Court justices examined the evidence and rendered a judgment. And what I would urge of this body is that we do the same, that we appoint an electoral commission to conduct a 10-day emergency audit, consider the evidence, and resolve the claims. For those on the Democratic aisle who say there is no evidence, they've been rejected, then you should rest in comfort. If that's the case, an electoral commission would reject those claims.
We've been listening to Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. Just minutes ago, at the very same lectern, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell spoke about President Trump's claim that the election was stolen.
But my colleagues, nothing before us proves illegality anywhere near the massive scale that would have tipped the entire election. Nor can public doubt alone justify a radical break when the doubt itself was incited without any evidence. The Constitution gives us here in Congress a limited role. We cannot simply declare ourselves a national board of elections on steroids.
And McConnell went on to say that that this would do significant damage to the Republic to delay the counting, the formal casting of the Electoral College votes, and anything that would impede the presidency of Joe Biden. We're talking with Amanda Renteria of Emerge America, Claremont McKenna College professor Jack Pitney joining us as well. Damage our republic forever. Very strong language from Mitch McConnell just minutes ago. Amanda Renteria, we also have Mike Pence saying in a letter that he has no authority to overturn the results of the election. How serious a rupture is this in the Republican Party?
It is a serious rupture. It's a message of going forward. How is the Republican Party going to work in Congress, in the Senate, with this new administration? And it's clearly delineating two different factions. Now, truth be told, the minute Ted Cruz joined the Senate, that faction had started back then. But Trump has certainly solidified it. And there was always a question as to whether that would somehow dissipate if there was a clear answer in the election. Whether that would change and you would see the Republican Party really come together post-Trump. What this is saying is that's clearly not going to happen. In fact, if anything, you're seeing an emboldened Ted Cruz and team really build up a new faction, really state that the Republican Party isn't ready to come together. And it's unfortunate, just really disappointing as we think about the challenges this country is going to face. It certainly makes things getting in the Senate moving forward in a cohesive way more difficult. However, the power structure has changed. And so that's really what's going on here. Is Ted Cruz and team going to go directly to Trump's people, work directly with Trump outside the normal system, which is what we're seeing today?
Jack, I wonder about the Georgia election results. We have one of the races, Reverend Raphael Warnock has been declared by the Associated Press the winner of that seat. So we're at 50-49 effectively in the Senate with John Ossoff with a fairly significant lead for the other Georgia senatorial runoff seat. So if he holds on to the margin that he's got, then with a Vice President Kamala Harris, you have an effective Democratic majority. What legislation do you think Democrats are going to prioritize moving through both houses?
Well, one thing they're not going to prioritize is the Green New Deal. Extremely expensive, controversial, but from a practical matter, remember that the 50th Democratic vote belongs to Joe Manchin of West Virginia. So you're not going to see any legislation that's seriously going to affect the coal industry. But the top priority that they are going to move on has to be priority 1, 2, and 3 right now is the pandemic, making sure the vaccines get into arms as fast as possible. After that, they can consider some kind of sequel to economic relief, maybe increasing the amount of money. But right now, the number one priority has to be the pandemic and the vaccines.
And Amanda, do you anticipate that we're going to see a significant increase in the stimulus payments to households with a Democratic majority in the Senate?
I do. I think so many folks spoke out when that $2,000 stimulus was in debate. I do think they're going to reemerge with that conversation, really giving, showcasing that people are going to keep their promises when the majorities change. However, I think there's going to be a much broader conversation about what are the fundamentals that are needed, not just for the vaccine, but for the economy at large. And this team has been through this during the Great Recession. They know how critical these first couple of months are to really set the stage for what is going to be needed for the rest of this administration, but really to recover from this pandemic and to recover from the economic challenges that people have had.
Is Joe Manchin the most powerful member of Congress going forward, Amanda?
You know, I think you will see Manchin, you will see Romney, you will see some of these folks who have shown a capacity to really work across the aisle or to really question some of what has happened over the last 4 years within the Republican Party. And so I do think there will be an emerging bipartisan group, a moderate group that will rise during this moment. And certainly Mitch McConnell, this has been his challenge, is he wants to make sure that he can have a bridge to that, as well as try and figure out how do you bring Ted Cruz and team along. And that's the challenge that we're going to see in the next couple of weeks and months.
Yeah. Amanda Renteria of Emerge America, where she's a board member, Jack Pitney, professor of politics, Claremont McKenna College, joining us on Air Talk. Coming up, we'll hear more what's going on in the joint session of Congress.